You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp Products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Today, before we play a little after further review, let's bring our friend Paul in Cleveland on the line. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Not too much. How are you?
Good, man.
Very good, very good. Hey, I just had a comment about, you know, everybody just keeps saying about how Brian didn't have a great game, but once we got in the red zone, it seemed like every time we got in the red zone, they just gave up on the run. I don't understand that. I mean, it was working all day long. We punted one time. How do you give up on the run?
First of all, I agree with you. I think that you absolutely should stay committed to the run. And I thought when they got down to first and goal from the six, I would have trotted the crow out there. He's been the most effective red zone running back in the entire NFL. I would say give him the football. That's what I'm saying.
You're absolutely right. And I think also, too, if you look at the red zone efficiency, 1 of 6, 17%, and they were goal to go two times and came away and were 0 for 2 in those opportunities to score touchdowns. It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. And yes, he had one where he caught to Miles Austin, but he couldn't catch it. I agree with you, though. I think especially now in this game against Buffalo, I think you're going to probably have to throw to set up the run. But in a game like you had against the Atlanta Falcons where you were able to impose your will physically on them, I think you should absolutely run the football in. And I think that that's something I'm sure that is discussed. They go back and they look at the tape, and Kyle Shanahan, to his credit, has always been able to kind of master, you know, the balance of that. And at times, you know, he may get two into the pass or two into the run, et cetera, but he always can figure it out, and that's why this offense has been as effective as it has been. And I think he's going to be just fine kind of coming back after this one. But I think when you got a guy running the ball as well as Crow was, you pound that rock, because if you think about Cincinnati, that was the statement they made there. 5 straight runs after that Craig Robertson interception, and they punched it in, and that really set the tone that day. They are going to have a tough time setting that kind of a tone, though, against the Buffalo Bills. Let's bring in our guy, Mr. Emmett Golden, now to play a little After Further Review.
After Further Review.
First up on After Further Review, should Josh Gordon be a Pro Bowl candidate if his numbers over the last 5 games are good or even better than his performance was on Sunday?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, and I don't believe that you can, if I'm not mistaken. If you've been suspended at any point during a football season, I think there may be a rule that you're not eligible to participate in the Pro Bowl. So that might rule him out first and foremost. But I don't think, again, unless he does something entirely exceptional, I think also what works against him is the fact he didn't have a touchdown in that football game. So it's just going to be yards and not essentially crossing the goal line. But if he can, you know, I'd say, you know, 8 touchdowns in the remaining 5 football games and, you know, close to 1,000 yards, that will open some eyes, but not enough to get him in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if he should be a Pro Bowl candidate, but I think that he's a Pro Bowl player.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think you
all
know
pro.
That he's an
yes.
All-Pro, but, you know, 6 games, that's not the full body of work in a season, and I would say if a guy got off to an unbelievable 6-game start and then got hurt and didn't play the final 10, would he be in the Pro Bowl or an All-Pro? Probably not. So 6 games is still not 16, but Josh Gordon has that kind of talent. So I don't care whether he gets the acknowledgement or not, and I think I'm pretty sure he doesn't either. It's just about getting through this season, getting through every day, keeping himself on the field, continuing to make plays, and helping this Browns football team win.
After further review.
When the season's over and you look back at this game, what'll be the one play that defined the win for the Browns this week?
The one play for me, I know the one play that will define it for Nathan might be Betonio's tackle, but I think it's the second half Isaiah Crowell run for me, and just his the finally feeding the crow him, the offensive line doing a great job of holding on their blocks, him cutting it all the way back and then making multiple Falcons miss on his way to the end zone. To me, that's the epitome of Browns football.
I love that you said the crow. I think when we look back at this game, one play, I don't know that would define it. I would say probably Betonio's tackle. But to me, it was any play that involved Josh Gordon, because that is what defined this game to me, the return of Josh Gordon, the impact that he had on the game, on this offense, opening things up for guys like Crow, opening things up for Andrew Hawkins, Miles Austin. He is the best player on this team. He's the most gifted player on this team, maybe one of the most gifted, if not the most gifted, in the NFL. And his return is what defines this game and this win to me. And now the Browns are back to, you know, at least having him in the mix. So I'm excited about that. And because, you know what we talked about earlier when I said against the Bills, the Browns are going to have to throw to set up the run. Josh Gordon is going to need to be huge in this game against the Buffalo Bills, because it will be very tough against that front. And Josh Gordon's the one guy who's shown he can make big plays, whether it be off of a long pass down the field or off those quick screens to the outside.
After further review,
if you had to name a defensive MVP for Sunday's game, who would get it?
In my eyes, I think it's Paul Kruger. I talked about it going into last week's game versus Atlanta, about the missing Jabal Sheard, not having Carlos Dansby, and being limited in our ability to rush the passer and affect Matt Ryan. And we did affect Matt Ryan. And you saw Paul Kruger's, how relentless he was. He missed him the first time. And then Matt Ryan, he literally walks right by him and he tears him to the ground. And that affects a quarterback. Being around a quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be sacks, but Paul Kruger's physicality and Barkevious Mingo's speed, kind of knocked or deviated Matt Ryan off his spot, which affected some of his throws when he needed to be accurate.
I'm going to go with Craig Robertson. Because when Carlos Dansby went down, that was a huge void in the middle of this defense. You didn't know how he would respond to being the quarterback of the defense, calling the plays, making all those adjustments. And I thought he did a great job. I thought he was incredibly active. 9 tackles to lead the team, 7 solo to lead the team, and tie for the game lead overall. I thought he was everywhere, played a very good football game. And when you miss a guy like Dansby, and you ultimately go back and you look at it and you say, oh, well, the linebacker position wasn't our deficiency. The linebackers actually played pretty well. Craig Robertson did a heck of a job. So he's going to get my nod there for the defensive MVP in this one, because he had such big shoes to fill and he filled them so effectively.
After further review.
And finally, on After Further Review, was Odell Beckham's catch the best catch you ever seen?
Yes. And I think I'm saying that off the cuff because it's the most recent amazing catch that I have seen. The only other catch that I've been was actually on a football field and saw actively happen in my eyes was Antonio Cromartie at night against the Indianapolis Colts. We actually picked off, I got one, pat on the back, off of Peyton Manning. We got him 6 times that night. Was a diving over the head, very similar catch by Antonio Cromartie over Reggie Wayne. But that to me, and the how he caught the ball with 3 fingers, and the technology of how a game is called and the broadcast be able to zoom in, and you put so much detail in the football game, that to me is the number one catch in my eyes.
I'm going to say it's got to be David Tyree's catch in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that's the most ridiculous catch, caught with one hand against his helmet. And I thought that was probably the most ridiculous catch ever. And when you think about the fact that it happened in the Super Bowl, it toppled a team.
And
that
the
was
result.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ramifications of it, the result of it. I thought that that was probably the greatest catch ever. Now, that one by Beckham was good, but I remember Brandon Lloyd making a bunch of ridiculous one-handed catches.
Yeah. And laying out.
Laying
for them.
Out. Yeah. Beckham's catch was unbelievable.
But it's probably most unbelievable because it's the freshest in our minds, correct?
Yeah, it's the newest. It's the most recent. I think that there, obviously, there's what we call recency bias, and there is recency bias around Beckham's catch. Maybe the best catch we've seen this year, but I think there have been some other catches in NFL history that were better. And, you put the magnitude of it as well. Dwight Clark climbing the ladder for what is called the catch.
Right.
In San Francisco, that's got to be one that's in a framed picture down in my basement.
But also, too, I think.
49ers fan.
That, yeah, absolutely. There you go. I was a Niner for a while, and that's all you ever seen all over the walls.
That's right.
But I think also, too, it desensitizes what an amazing catch it is because the Giants are so bad and the fact that they lost the football game as well.
Yes, but you know what? It's in the conversation. What he did was
yes,
spectacular. 100%. When they zoom in, the fact that he actually caught it with 3 fingers,
yeah,
absolutely ridiculous, drew a flag and caught it anyway. I thought it was unbelievable. If you guys think about this tomorrow, call in if you ever want to say, you thought this was the best catch you've ever seen. We're certainly open to that. We got a couple guys on the line as we wrap things up here. Reggie in Youngstown. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, fellas. Good to be talking. I hadn't talked to you.
It's been a while, man.
That's right, man. Happy Thanksgiving,
yeah,
man.
It's been about a week or so. In general and stuff right there, but I said I had to get in right quick. Hey, man, I like what you said, man, in general about far as Gordon being back. Yeah, I do. Matt, I think that, to me, Josh Gordon, man, is a natural. I'm talking about he's just, born to be able to do that, man.
He is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he is.
Just being on the field and seeing him next to Julio Jones, who I think is unbelievable. Crazy.
That's how good he is. He's just born to do it. He's just a natural. He's like a Warfield. And that's what I was going to say when you guys were asking also about who you think was that the best catch ever. I tell you, man, if you guys had a chance, I know y'all a little bit younger than I am in general, but Warfield, man, you talk about great, great catches. If look at some of the films, and you'll see some great catches. That one that the Giant receiver made was a good catch, but that's not the best. That's not the best catch I've ever seen. Not to me.
No, but it certainly was a very good one. Reggie, pleasure to talk to you as well. We will be back tomorrow here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's actually our last show of the week this week as we are off for Thanksgiving and Black Friday. And we will get into our detailed Buffalo Bills preview in that one, Matt. Want to thank the notorious VIC Vic Carucci for his return to Cleveland Browns Daily today. Also want to wish him and his mother a very successful surgery tomorrow. So I'll keep Vic in our prayers here as well. Thank Renee Harvey. Don't forget to go to clevelandbrowns.com and donate for Browns Giving Tuesday. Get entered in the raffle to win those jerseys, footballs, and also an opportunity to win a trip on the team plane for two to Baltimore for when the Browns take on the Ravens in week number 17. Matt, it's been fun to enjoy this game
always
against the Atlanta Falcons. But now it's time to be
on to Buffalo.
On to Buffalo. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Thank you for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by our friends at Liberty Ford.